Need in life, because God said he should supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And so even though there's some things that's challenging us, amen, but they're there for a reason, amen. And so we thank God for this wonderful day. Amen. How's your family doing, man of God?
Doing okay. Ruth's right here beside me, and we're getting ready to have a good program. And as I usually say to Brother Quick, the Word of God, you could load up on it. So I've got the old tractor trailer. I got a three-axle triple tractor trailer backed up to the old dock ready for a good load tonight.
There you go. And I tell you, I got some loaded content tonight. Amen.
Well, hopefully you got enough to load a triple axle tractor trailer.
Amen. We got a good forklift. Amen. You know, I found out, Ken, there's two types of forklifts. Amen. You know, I know we got different.
Well, you'll need a forklift to load that big truck. It's over a big 72 footer.
Hey. They got these forklifts that you sit down on. They got these forklifts that you stand up on. Amen. And all of them carry a different name. But I found out there's some other forklift. Amen. The one that you lift to your mouth.
Yeah, so you have to get busy loading the truck. I'm in the cab. Amen. I'm going to haul it away once you got it loaded. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Who is it? Who else we got with us?
You got the missus. Here she is.
Amen. How you doing, Sister Ruth?
I got exciting news.
Uh-oh. She's exciting. Okay, come
I'm
on
excited.
With it.
I'm getting real happy. Just got the news that they're going to cover my injections at the place I'm going to, Cleveland Clinic, and I won't have to pay for it. So I praise the Lord. The insurance is covering the whole thing. So I go in the operating room to have those four injections. I just come right out in 15 minutes and don't even have to be put under. You just walk right out. Praise the Lord.
All right.
I'm going to get some help for this stupid pain.
Amen. That's good. Thank God for provision. Amen. I like stuff like that. Those good testimonies that God will provide. Amen. Just what you need. He'll direct us in the right path. Amen. He'll open up the right doors for us. Amen. He will just do it because he's just that loving. I thank God for his benefits. Amen. And that's what happens when you got insurance that works with you. Amen. There's some benefits. Amen. A lot of people that are so-called Christians that are living beneath the benefits of being a child of the kingdom of God. And we don't want to live below our benefits, our privileges. Amen. As children of the Most High God, we want to enjoy the benefits here. There's many songs talking about when I get to heaven, everything going to be all right. It's going to be amen. All kinds of stuff, you know. We're not going to get into it. But there's some benefits right here on earth. Amen. Where God planted us to be effective, to be change agents. Amen. Right here that God wants us to experience and to enjoy here. I like it best what Jesus said. He said that he has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. That's a very powerful statement. It's plain, it's straightforward. Jesus said, I've come. Before he made the statement, he said, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But he comes that we may have life and have life more abundantly. He didn't say eternal life. He didn't talk about the eternal glory. He later on talks about that, but in this passage he's talking about right here on planet Earth that we are to experience the joy of God now. Amen, somebody. And so because we can experience the joy of God now, I don't have to live beneath the privileges of what God has for me. That means I don't have to let anything control my life outside of the will and purpose of God. Amen. So I'm not controlled by my our impulses. Amen. I'm not controlled by lust. Amen, somebody. I'm not even controlled by the media and social society around me. But I am controlled. Hear the word, control. That's what you allow to direct and to govern. I am controlled by the word of God that's in my heart. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Because that's what David said. David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Talking about the Most High God. So if you don't have the word of God in your heart, most likely you're going to sin against God because you're going to do the things that God is not pleased with concerning your life. Amen. And so we're going to get into it later on. Amen. Who else? We got a couple more visitors here with us. We want to open up all the mics here today. I see Brother Six, I believe that's it. Man of God, are you here? How you doing this evening?
So good evening. Good evening. Just waiting to get my turn to speak, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Waiting for a great
you have
show.
It. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. How's your mental this evening while we're on the subject of you speaking? Amen. How's your mental, sir? How you feel?
Oh, my mental is clear. It's focused. It's great.
All right, all right, all right, all right. If you had to put that on a scale, 1 to 10, 10 being the best it possibly can be, amen, 9 being nearly the best, 8 being still great or still good, where are you tonight? Where are you tonight?
I'd be operating at a 10.
That's what I want to hear. That means you got your dancing shoes on. Man, I almost want to play some boogie music just for you, man. I tell you, Doc, yeah. I just want to put, I want to find something to make you pick your feet up and put your feet down. Hey, man. Hey, man, that's what I almost want to do. I just want to play a little something, they say. Amen. And later on, we may pray a little something just to let you pick your feet up and put your feet down. Amen. Amen.
Right.
But it is good to hear your voice on this evening. I don't know if that's Sister Emily. I see Lady Bonnet, but I don't believe she's up for them because I see her out the corner of my eye. Amen. And I don't hear a reverse, so that means her phone is in the room. Amen. So she must be allowing the dog to get out to handle his business. So we'll come back to her. Amen. I don't know, is that Sister Emily? Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. God bless everyone. I'm here in the house today.
All right. Hello, First Lady.
Hello.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I owe you. Okay, that's all I have to say.
well, wake up after the show and let Pastor let me do his message first and.
I got you. Y'all behave now.
We're all over the world. To the body,
don't forget. I don't think any of y'all women forget. What you don't want to let go. but I'm gonna move on. The preacher ain't gonna say that today. That ain't the preacher message today. So the preacher ain't gonna say that. Preacher, move on, preacher, move on.
Don't rebuke us.
Amen. There's a wonderful singer called Jacqueline Carr. Amen. She has this song. I want to listen to just a little bit of it and say it's going to happen. I want you to just listen to some of the words. You got to believe it before it happens. Sometimes things are slow to come about, and we're challenged to wait. We're challenged to be patient. Now, the Bible tells us to let patience have her perfect work, that it may prove the good and acceptable will of the Father for us, okay? And so something we got to hold on by faith and just trust God's plan. In this song, she says, it's going to happen. Amen. So we got to believe before it happens. So I want to dedicate this to everyone who's waiting on the promise or purpose to be fulfilled in your life. Amen. That are facing some challenges and not sure whether to go left, right, up, down, or to sit still. Amen. Those are some good decision-making things, but oftentimes we sit too long or we run too fast. And so how to wait on God, that's the challenge by itself. And maybe we may have an open discussion about that subject on a future show as the Lord gives us opportunity. I may invite a couple people on, and we may have just an open discussion concerning to have patience to wait on God. Amen. But let's listen to this song, It's Going to Happen. And I'll be right back.
You got to hear before it happens. Believe before it happens. Receive before it happens. You got to know it's going to happen. God said this one's on me. Yeah.
gonna happen. Oh, that's the way.
Amen. It's going to happen. Bring it.
There's something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient. Because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. But that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
Amen. Very powerful question. Do we value God enough to wait on his plan for our lives? That's a question that we must answer ourselves. Amen. I'm going to dive right into the word. I want to give you a prayer request, but I'm going to allow a few more people to tune in and just give I'm coming back to you all. For your prayer request at a later time in the program. Amen. I know in the past, you know, we tried to just bring in just laughter content and different things of that nature, just trying to really make the program something to keep your attention. But I don't want to shy away from the Word of God tonight. I want to dive right into the things of God because I've just learned to accept them for what they are, and they are empowerment tools. Amen. I talked to you a couple weeks back about having the right tools in your toolbox. Amen. And the tools in your toolbox are there to help you either to build, to repair, to fix, to mend. There's many different types of tools, and they are there for development. Well, in your individual toolbox, which is your heart, your mind, you must have the right tools. And learning to have the right tools is almost like having a brand. Amen. You can listen to this person and that person. You can get oftentimes certain good or decent suggestions on how to do this, that, or the other. But I guarantee you, those of you that had any kind of money at all, there's no way in the world that you will purchase a Lamborghini and start having issues with that Lamborghini and take it over to Toyota. Not that Toyota's a bad company, but you know Toyota did not make Lamborghini. So you're not finna take something that's made by a different manufacturer who's already have a policy that covers that vehicle or that product. You're not gonna take it to someone else who don't cover it. You wanna take it back to where you purchased that Lamborghini. You're gonna take it back to the manufacturer who stands by the warranty. Oftentimes, when it comes down to warranties, many of us, you know, back in the days of VCRs, people would go and buy VCRs, and that VCR may have 8 functions. But for whatever reason, you only know 4 of them. All you know is the play and the stop button, the rewind button, and the fast forward button. You don't know how to control anything else. You just know the basic. And oftentimes we live our life like that, and then when we go to having problems or issues, we're wondering why we can't advance. And that's because we were manufactured by God. but we keep running to the world for our fix, to repair us when we are broken. And I'm not saying the shade tree mechanic can't fix something here and there, but it's kind of odd that ever so often that shade tree mechanic would take a loose certain things in trying to fix your automobile. And they may overall take a loose 16 different screws or bolts, but they only put back 14. They say, oh, that's not important. These two, it's okay for these two to be missing. If it wasn't a need for those two, why would the manufacturer put them there from the beginning? See, there's certain things that's needed in our lives today, but they're missing. And somebody said, well, you don't need all of that. You know, that's how people respond about church today. Oh, that's a little outdated. It's a little archaic. You ain't got to go to church to serve God. God is in your heart. You can serve God right where you are. That would be okay if you didn't have transportation to get to church. That would be okay if you was not physically able to get to church. That would be fine. Because after all, we serve a God who's just and fair. And he would not put on you, and I say he won't, not we won't, he won't put on you more than you can bear. But if he say, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, that's what he meant. Oftentimes, in that Jewish custom or tradition or family, the men was taught to go before the Lord for the family. Send the church, send your family to church, and you stay home watching the football game. But you led your family to church. And you are there to go to church, to be the voice in church, so that when y'all get home, if there's question about what the preacher said, the father is there to give answers, to bring understanding, to bring clarity. But we live in a society that now is pressing women's dominance, and that's not the will of God. I'm sorry, this is not a, I'm not jumping or bashing any women. You are intelligent, you are beautiful, you are bold, you are courageous, but you also were designed to be a helpmeet. Helpmeet. That means you are in a supporting role. And I know that's a challenge for some, because your daddy didn't want you to be codependent. So he taught you how to be independent. But you took it the wrong way. And some parents taught it the wrong way. Teaching you that you don't need a man is not teaching you how to support the man. And that's a big difference in teaching. And that's not my lesson today. So I'm going to start right there. I'm going to put the pen in it right there. We're not going to go any further than that. But the Bible teaches very simple that man was created to honor God. That the role of the male species, creation, he called man, which is mankind. He gave a role for the male species to reflect and honor him. And he gave him assignment in the earth. And because he needed help to fulfill those assignments, he gave him her. And that's why today we can stand and clearly say that it is wrong for Adam and Steve. It is wrong for Eve and Yvette to build that constitution called marriage. He said, for this cause shall a man, male, leave both mother and father. He distinguished the male and the female. He distinguished the male and the womb male, which is the woman, father and mother, protector, nurturer. He distinguished that. He says, shall the male leave his father, which is source, or protector, and mother, which is nurturer, supporter, and cleave to his own wife, his help. Oh, Lord, help us today. And when he don't know his role, then she can't fulfill hers. And when she don't fulfill hers, she's left void and empty because the thing that God put in her to do is now being unutilized for the purpose in which it was intended. Now, that's enough. Pastor Bonnie's going to move on because we're talking about commitment. And later on in the month, we'll come back to that marriage commitment. But for now, that's not our topic. So I'm going to go to my notes so I can stick to what they say, the strip. I took time to write these out on my tablet. And so let me stick to the strip, the text. Amen. Once again, we're talking about this month's topic is commitment. But before you can get the commitment, you must have commit. And so let's deal with the definition of it first, all right? That way we are all on the same page. And so it's not to my private interpretation, but it will be something that has already been clarified for us. And so the word commit, C-O-M-M-I-T. Before we can get the M-E-N-T on it, excuse me. Don't have my coffee. Before we can get to the the M-E-N-T, we must deal with the C-O-M-M-I-T. It means commit means to carry out or perpetrate. That word perpetrate means commit. But that word commit don't mean just what you do. It could be also a mistake, you know, such as a crime or a immoral act. What the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't make this mistake. Don't make this crime. Don't do this crime. Don't do this immoral thing of covering your neighbor's wife. Commit. Don't steal my patented idea to bless my family, but build your idea. Don't steal my wealth and make it your own. Don't lie to me. Don't commit false witness on me. So when we deal with commitment, we're dealing with things that can be harmful, certainly illegal. That means they're against constitutional things that are provided as equality across the board. Amen. I don't commit crime. Don't break into my home. Don't steal my car. Don't commit acts that are immoral against me. And I shouldn't commit those things against you neither. Go both ways. Amen. But commitment is a state of quality of being dedicated to a cause. Wow. All of a sudden, by adding the M-E-N-T to the C-O-M-M-I-T, now takes on this a slightly different personality. I would like to say it develops. Commitment develops what you commit. Oh, wow, that's good. That's good. That's good. Brother C, did you write that down? That's all right. You can remember it. You got a good memory. Commitment is the development, a proper development of the word commit. Because you can commit a crime by stealing cookies out the cookie jar. And the cookies may be yours by right, but you said, I'm not going to eat sweets after 9 o'clock. And you look at the clock and it says 9:05, and you say, yeah, it's close. But now you're about to commit a crime against yourself. Why? Because now you're violating your own committed idea, something that you stated within yourself that you're going to do. The failure of that, by committing that, by doing that which you said that you were not going to do, now is fortified by your action. It proves whether or not your commitment to the statement that you made. You know, it's one thing for somebody to say, don't you do that no more, and you do it. You say, well, I didn't commit to that. I didn't say I wasn't going to do it. See, that's a totally different thing. But once you agree not to do something, once you agree to something that is right and proper, and yet you take actions against what you said that you were going to commit to, it reveals your level of commitment. In fact, I dare to say it proves that you're not committed, that you have no commitment, because you're still doing the immoral thing, the unrighteous thing. You're still doing the thing that is harmful or that has been made illegal. Well, it's just a cookie, preacher. Gosh, why are you making a big deal about a cookie? Because if you can't tell yourself the truth, how can I trust you to tell me the truth? I'm going to say it again. If you cannot tell yourself the truth, and I'm pretty much certain on this, that you love you more than you love me. Now, you who you love, you who you supposed to value, if you lie to yourself, who am I not to be lied to? If you cheat yourself, who am I not to be cheated by you? Hear me? If you don't value you, if you don't value yourself, how can I expect you to value me? Do that make sense? Now, I told the church folks a long time ago, and I'm still saying it, say amen, preacher, it means you agree with the preacher. But when the preacher is stepping on your toes and what he's saying is hitting you, now he didn't come aiming at you, but if he hit you, he didn't mean to miss you. And the words that should come out your mouth is ouch. So ouch means okay, that's the hammer hitting the head of the nail spot on. But we want to get it in you. And so, therefore, we must do what you do to nails. We must keep hammering until it's flush, until it secures that which need to be fastened together. Why? Because it don't need to move. And the principles of God don't need to move. They need to be fastened together, tied up, tangled up, bound up within us, so that we will stay committed to the things we believe. You say you believe in Christ? Then where is the commitment? Because as a Christian, that means to be Christ-like, to be a follower. Are you following him? Or are you just a fan admiring him from afar? Nowadays, a lot of this stuff is being redefined. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us this. Follow that. And we build social media based on the numbers of followers. If I look at my Facebook, and I'm terrible at this, I confess, there's some, because I'm into technology, there's some certain people that I like to listen to talking about the new phones and the new whatever coming out. And I hit follow so that it'll send me a little notation or a little bell that person has new content out. Matter of fact, let me go to it. I'm going to see how many I actually got that I ain't followed. I'm going to see if I'm going to tell the whole truth. Facebook, where is that? Where is that? Amen. Here we go. Let me see. Just how many? It says I have 20 unchecked. That's just from the front page. It's probably more if I sign on. So I got 20 unchecked items already. Because I say I want to follow, but I ain't listen. I ain't turned into it. We say we want to follow God. We say we want to believe in God, but you ain't opened your Bible since Sunday. And many won't open their Bible all week long because they don't understand commitment. They don't understand it, what it is to be committed to the Lord. It's amazing. I heard Pastor Calhoun say it like this. I use this for him, give him credit for it. He said, I found myself asking people, hey, come on to church with us. Well, I don't want to say I'm coming, you know. I don't want to commit to something and then don't show up. He said, man, listen, I'm just inviting you to come on fellowship with us. You're welcome, man. We're open Sunday. Come on, man. Our new location there in Memphis at 10:30. Come on. And they, well, I don't know. He said, well, let me ask you a question. Are you going to work on Monday? Oh, yeah, I'm going to work. Wait a minute. How can you commit to going to work, but you can't commit to coming to worship? The same vehicle that takes you to work can take you to service. The same mold that gets you to there can get you over here. Well, I'm it's amazing how we commit to certain things, but not the things concerning God. Now let me get off Facebook here and go back to my. There we go. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we have to be mindful what it really means to be committed as believers. Uh-oh. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If I'm a believer of Christ, if I'm a believer of God, and I worry all the time, doesn't that challenge my commitment? Because after all, a believer of Christ is a follower of Christ. Not a fan, but a true follower. And if I'm a follower of Christ, I must believe in Christ. I must be committed to Christ. Commitment means nothing if I'm not if I don't commit anything. See, I can't get the commitment without doing. Now, that's enough on the definition. So we're on the same page. Commitment is equal to quality. Commitment is the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, etc. That's the definition of commitment. And commit is to carry out. What are we carrying out today? To the book of Proverbs. And we're going to do a little reading, okay? Let's jump into it. Proverbs, and I may move a little fast, so I try to slow down. I'm going to try my best to repeat the scripture text a couple times so that you may write them down. If you're taking audio notes, video notes, digital notes, paper notes, want to make sure you get these down, and you can go back and read these, and you can read the whole chapter and where they are so that you know that I kept them in the proper context to build what we're talking about today. So Proverbs chapter 3. It's a good thing they tell us if you're really seeking knowledge and wisdom, special wisdom, read a Proverbs a day. 31 Proverbs, there are 31 days within a month and many months. And so there's a proverb for each day. And so if you, whatever day it is, you know, let's say if it's the 3rd, read Proverbs 3. If it's the 23rd, read Proverbs 23. Okay. You know, as you read these Proverbs, the contents within them are going to give you food for thought. It's going to give you something to meditate on, something to strengthen you by. So Proverbs is good for us. So let's read here Proverbs chapter 3. We got a couple of them from Proverbs, but chapter 3 says, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, read. And it's the New Living. And so I'm going to announce when I go back and forth from King James to the New Living. I will be using both of those on tonight. The New Living Translation, the newest version, and the King James version. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 reads from the New Living, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." This is something to commit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Verse 6. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you. He will. If you seek his will, he will show you which path to take. Amen, somebody. Proverbs 14, chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Powerful statement here, coming from the King James Version. There is a way. Somebody say a way, not the way. There is a way. The word a put emphasis on differences or diversity. There is multiple ways. There is a way that seems, I mean, it looks like. It acts like. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. That means the world have ideas of what they think that is right. But not the beginning, and maybe not even in the middle, but the end. Thereof, the end of thereof, that means the end of their ways. That means the motive behind it or purpose behind it are the ways of death. Why is the ways of death? Because the wages of sin is death. So there's things that men will sin, fornication, adultery, theft. Well, we'll get into some in just a minute here. There are ways that seems right to man. People try to justify it. Justify cause, justify reasoning. End is death. This death can be both death, both the natural death and the spiritual death. Why? Because God judges sin. Period. The righteous judge sin. And the sentencing for sin is death. Disconnect from him. That's what it means now, and we won't get into it in this setting, but some sins are not to the spiritual death, just the physical death. Case in point, I'm going to use these two emphases. Again, I ain't coming aiming at nobody, but if I hit you, I didn't mean to miss you. You may think you have the right to smoke weed and do drugs. And you may be a born-again believer of Christ with that addiction. Can't help it. Well, ultimately, it can destroy your physical life, although God may spare your soul because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because you accepted Christ as Savior. The issue was you didn't make him Lord, so that you never left your hang-ups. But then there are some things that are death. You cannot remain a homosexual and let me rephrase that. If you are a homosexual, I mean, you believe in same sex, Christ, and receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you do not stay a homosexual. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Why? Because the act of homosexuality is one of abomination. And so for any preacher that tells you the lie that you can remain that and grace covers you, they lying on grace. Because grace do not let you stay in error. Grace gives you the opportunity to line up with the legal position that God has for us as individuals. And that spirit of homosexuality, which is an immoral act of the flesh, you're sinning against the temple of God. You're going to lose your soul if you don't repent from that action. Now, it's all through the Bible. It changes not. Brother Peter, we in Proverbs, so let's go to Proverbs. Let's see, Proverbs. Sixteen. Make sure I have the right reading here. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 6. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to read it from the King James and the New Living, but from the King James first. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. Okay. King James, thank you. All right. It says these six things. Six, did you know your name in the Bible? These six things. These six things does the Lord hate. He what? Hate. So when people tell you that God loves your flaws, they're lying. God does not love flaws. Flaws are not freckles. Flaws are not you being cross-eyed. Flaws are not the colors of your skin, the stature of your being. Those are not the flaws that God is concerned with. Because for the most part, none of us had anything to do. I had nothing to do with the content of my skin. I didn't bleach it. I didn't darken it. I was born a male. But if for some strange reason I'd made the conscious decision to disown my malehood and become a female, I go against what he had already stated concerning me. Now, that's not the same as being born poor and staying poor, because those are things God teaches us to advance in. It teaches us, the word teaches us that that if we're lazy, we'll be poor. So, back to the text, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things does the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital B. Yea, seven, how many? Seven are an abomination unto him. So now let's go into each one of those very carefully. The first thing that he say he hates is a proud look. King James. King James said he hates a proud look. New Living used that same word, proud look, as haughty eyes. Proud look. That's how you carry yourself. That's that is all about you and nobody else. He didn't say you can't be proud that you look good. He didn't say that you shouldn't take care about how people see you. But the behavior of this proud look is one of self-boasting. Yeah. And if you think I'm wrong about it, ask Haman. Who is Haman? Read the Bible. Google his name. Read his story. We're going to keep on moving. Haman had a proud look. And that proud look cost him his life, his physical life. And because he didn't have a relationship with God, cost him his soul too. Moving along. The second thing is a lying tongue. I want to put emphasis on the ing. The lying tongue, that means you are always looking to tell a lie. You're quick to not tell the truth. This is not something that you did by accident or because of an embarrassment, but this is something that you do. You know, we got those relatives that when they come in our way, they say, "What?" In your mind, you say, "What lie you going to tell today?" That's a lying tongue. When you lie so well, you forget that it ain't true. You lie so well, you can convince yourself. And it says a lying tongue. It's amazing that in translation, that's the exact same. It says a lying tongue. That means all of them. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why you told a lie. This is what God has considered an abomination, a lying tongue. Well, it's just a little white lie. I don't care if it's a black lie, white lie, yellow lie, red lie. Lies lie. The Bible said all liars shall have their part in the lake. That's kind of bypassing hell, ain't it? of fire. So hell has enlarged herself, and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. Man, God is going to take hell and throw it in the fireball by itself. It's going to be in the star, burning for all eternity. That's number two. Number three is a hand that shed innocent blood. New Living says hands that kill the innocent. That means you are not defending yourself. This is not war. But you have killed the innocent. Let me put something in your ear. You know what innocent blood is? Unborn child. Abortion. That's what. Well, I got a right. It's my body. Okay. It's still innocent blood. When you finish talking, that's what God hates. And he has called it an abomination. Don't mean you can't repent. If you've done these things that's forementioned, you can repent, and the grace of God will forgive you. God's love will forgive you for all of these immoral acts, which you must commit to him. If you don't commit to him, then you can't be covered. Because the word of God says it's appointed to man to die once, and after death the judgment. And if you die without forgiveness, the judgment of sin is death. That's the eternal death now, not just the natural death. And your family can't pray for your dead soul. All of that foolishness of other teachings are wrong. It's not biblical. After death, then the judgment. That means at the point of your natural death, you receive judgment for the life that you live. And don't care how good you were in life, without Christ, the wages of your sinful life, sin is rebellion against the kingdom of God. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. So, number one, God hates a proud look. Number two, God hates a lying tongue. Number three, he hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Murderers, stealers, killers, all of that. A heart that devises wicked imagination. A heart that plots evil. Evil. Everything that's not godly. If it ain't good, it's evil. I'm going to say it again. If it's not good, it's evil. If it's not good, it's evil. Kind of simple. We ain't got to define it no further. If there's a negative and a positive in this whole world, negative, positive, those of you that's into other culture, yin and yang, everything in nature teaches you good and evil. Right and wrong. The heart That means down within you. Not your mind, because, you know, every now and then I think about slapping somebody. Ooh, I ought to slap the taste out of their mouth. But then my heart say, man, now why would you put your hands on somebody? You don't want nobody putting their hands on you. Yeah, but they need, your heart will say, mm-mm, they need Jesus. What they need is salvation. What they need is redemption. So your heart is the pure of your thought. In your mind is contaminated by this world. And so we're going to think things that are ungodly. But when your heart begins to imagine how you can carry them out, if in my heart I begin to devise a way of stealing your wife from you, stealing your company from you, hostile takeover, come on, really? And that's all you have. Let me give you a case in point of a heart that plots evil, why God hates it. David, a great king. David was known as a man after God's own heart. David didn't go out to battle one day when his soldiers was on the battlefield. Oftentimes, kings in times of battle will have an encampment where he will be close to the battle. But this was a long campaign in their fight against the Philistines. And so David is not on the battlefield. He's home at the palace while men are at war. And he's bored. And since the men are at war, that means in the city are women and children. The elderly or the lame. And he's looking out in the city from his balcony. And he see a girl that's so fine that he's like, man, look at that. Ooh-wee. Now, there wasn't nothing wrong with him recognizing her fineness. Kings had rights to marry multiple wives for the saving of bringing nations together and different things of that nature. Teaching all by itself. We'll get into it another day. So he inquired, man, who is that gal over there? Well, the very moment the report came back to him, oh, that's Uriah, the Hittite wife. One of your faithful soldiers that's out there doing a good job surviving and taking out enemies. What? She should have been highlighted like you highlight poison on a bottle. Don't drink that. Don't eat that. But in his heart, he said, shoot, I don't care. I want that. I got to get me a taste of that. I need a piece of that. And his action, as a king, he called, summons her. Because he's king, she can't deny the summons. Him with the legacy that he has, he's honored and admired by all. So she didn't resist the king. And when he made advances to her, she submitted to the king. Because after all, who was going to arrest the king? Well, she sent a report, king. I'm late. My monthly visitor didn't visit. He didn't own up to it. He didn't tell Uriah, right? I violated your land. I owe you compensation. But what he did was he began to plot, think it's his, so I'm going to bring him home. And hopefully when he come home, the first thing he wanted to do, since he'd been on the battlefield a long time, is to be with his wife. But he did not understand the integrity of his soldier who honored him. Then he said, my men are on the battlefield. They can't be with their wives, so it's wrong for me to be with mine in a time of war. It's not right. So he wouldn't go to it. So the king tried to get us drunk and figure, well, if I get him drunk, surely he going to want to go get, because that girl fine. Sure. She was so fine, I saw her fineness from a distance. So Uriah had a bad wife. And notice, even after his death, that's what the Bible calls her. And so David plots to get the man killed to cover his wrong. Now, didn't nobody know what was going on? Didn't nobody see this action? Very few people saw or knew what had even happened between him and the wife. But he's king. He is to uphold God's law. So the prophet gets the word from the Lord. My servant has sinned against me. Why? Because he had a heart that plotted an evil act and carried it out. That's how your heart can deceive you. In trying to cover up shame, you begin to try to make somebody else look bad. You try to find somebody else to blame. That's what it means to have a heart that plots evil. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Wickedness is those things that are ungodly. Number four. Man, I see I'm not going to finish this tonight. Lord, have mercy. All right, number four. That was number four, excuse me. Number five. Feet, not foot. Feet that be swift to run to mischief. Feet that race to do wrong. In other words, your walk in life is looking to see who you can get over on next. You know, you got people right now, that's their living. Con artists, always looking for the next mark, always looking how to beat somebody out of their life savings so that they can keep lining their pockets. Feet that race to do wrong. Number six is a false witness that speaks lies. The purpose of a witness is to tell the truth. I'm going to say it again. The purpose of any witness is to tell or to reveal truth. But a false witness makes up lies because they're getting paid. Or they don't want to be exposed. So this is what God hates. And if God hates it, do you think he's going to allow it in his eternal kingdom? He hates it now. because he's a righteous judge and a judge that must judge sin. If these things that he hates are capital sins, yeah, God don't want you eating, being obese, but he's not going to punish your soul for being obese, although your life may be shortened because of your obesity. He's not going to condemn your soul because you smoke cigarettes. I know I'm a sanctified preacher, and I shouldn't say it. They may want to pull my card after this. But just because you smoke cigars or cigarettes don't mean you're going to hell. But it can mean you may lose your life. Can mean that when you get liver cancer, lung cancer, throat cancer, all the prayers of the saints ain't going to help you. Why? Because God warned you to stop. The Holy Spirit told you not to do it. You know he did, because you say, I don't need to be smoking these things, but whew, I just can't get over it. Again, I ain't aiming at nobody, but if I hit you, I didn't mean to miss you. Some of our health challenges today are because we think, well, I got the right to do this, but the apostle said all things are lawful for me, but not expedient. That means it don't profit me to do just because I can do. It don't benefit me to do just because I can. Just because I can choke you out don't mean I should choke you out. Just because I got physical strength over you don't mean I should overpower you. There's a better way to deal with you. There's a better way to resolve issues. So just because you can do something don't mean you should. Just because you can run a red light don't mean you should. And I done seen people run a red light, and in that quick moment, major accidents of lives or bodily harm, because somebody did something that they could do, but they weren't supposed to, because it violated law. And whenever you violate law, law is there to protect the innocent. Law is there to protect principles. Laws are in place to govern. And when you violate natural law, then you are not covered by the manufacturer. It's amazing, I bought me a, had to get a new weed eater. And my last message was on my mind about law and principle, so I sat there and tried to read some of the manual. And because a lot of times we get into stuff and we don't read the manual. And one of the things that the manual said, do not use this weed eater for any purposes other than to weed eat. And in my mind, I'm like, what else can I use a weed eater for? But that's because my mind is not devised to do wicked things. So your manufacturer of the weed is saying there's some things you could do with this thing that's not lawful for this thing to be doing. This is not, this is made for the yard, not to go around cutting people, not to go around damaging people's property. But it's made for a purpose. And so don't utilize this for something other than what it was purposed for. So your rectum is an exit. It's not an entrance. I'm going to leave that alone. It's violating the manufacturer reasoning for it. Lord help today. Let me keep on. So, and number seven, he that soweth, wow. Now, go back and read. It says, six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven is abomination. So, either he's stating all of these are what he hates and is an abomination, or this seventh one is an abomination. He that soweth discord among the brethren. That's why I ain't talking against you. And even if your statement in your faith is different from the statement of my faith, I don't have to go at you when I can talk about the principle of what you're standing on. In other words, I don't have to go around telling people, man, I know he say he saved, but man, he this and he's that. He, you know, I don't know why the pastor keep giving him the leadership role. I mean, man, he don't know how to read. Yeah, that's sowing discord. I had this happen to me years ago. As a youth minister, children minister. I was the minister, and our children ministry program was advancing. At this particular time, the church was growing, and what we did with our children ministry, because the church itself went from a storefront to a building because of the numbers of people there. But the storefront we kept because that's where we held our children ministry in. And so we had one of the little small vans, so people were, we would gather the people, kids, in front of the church and drive them over to the storefront. And some of the parents would drop, a few may drop the parents out, but for the most part, we put them on the bus, and I'll drive them over. And because when I came and I was looking for something to do within the ministry, I saw that they didn't have enough drivers and different things of that nature. I saw how the kids were behaving in the foyer while they were waiting. And that's what I say, well, that's what I felt the Lord given me to help the ministry be successful. And so when I went to my pastor then, the late Pastor R.J. Washington, he gave me to go ahead to do those things which I shared with him that God gave me as a minister to help the ministry. And so I started doing that. So I would see the kids do certain things when I would take them over there. And so I took a role of a dean and began to just govern their actions so that they would be orderly, so that the women that was teaching would be able to teach the kids. And it was amazing that as soon as I began to speak to them, they would just settle down. And then the teachers was able to teach them without them just misbehaving. And, you know, I didn't have to yell or scream, but many times just come and tap them on the shoulder and look, give them a certain look. But the head teacher, who was over the program at the time, she was leaving the state. And so it was time for the pastor to appoint somebody else in her position, because she was not only leaving the ministry, but she was actually moving her job by transition. And so she was leaving, and the pastor appointed one of the other women teachers to oversee the program and to keep things going. And certain ones in there began to question, why you didn't get it to you? you this, you that, you don't want to get kids tonight. You don't want to. And they began to point. I say, wait a minute. God wanted me to be over it. He would have put it in the heart of the leader. My job is not to question who he assigned. My job is to support who he assigned. Because she came in and she changed a lot of things. Because with every change of leaders, change happens. And so they were against the schedules because she put in a rotational schedule of the teachers. They were against the. I said, listen, that's who God is anointing. Because our leader appointed her. My job is not to question it. My job is to make it happen. And so I stopped the discord. But what if I had in my mind? What if I had in my mind, I'm the man. I'm the man. They the women. I'm supposed to be over it. Well, then if I was supposed to be over, God would have appointed me over. So I didn't have to work against it. And so I understood discord amongst the brethren. When people would come in and speak against the works or the assignment of the leader. So early in ministry, I saw that and I began to cut that off. Come to me and talk to me about my pastor. And you a member. Oh, well, let's go talk to the pastor then. So then, you got something to say. Let's go say it to him. So you have to cut stuff out like that. People were so discord, just like children playing one parent against the other. Because at the end of the day, they're just trying to have their way. They want to do what they want to do. And so if the two heads, if the two leaders, so they ain't two heads, it's one head, excuse me. So if both leaders of the family can't agree, in other words, if the neck and the head is not working together, there's going to be some pain issues all through the body. And so you can't allow people to sow discord in the brethren, those are like believers. You can't allow that to happen. And God said, that's an abomination. When that's what you're doing, is sowing discord, you're dividing the house of God. That's an abomination to divide God's house. Why? Because God is not divided. That's why it's an abomination. God is not divided. Jesus is not against the Father. The Father is not against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not against the Father or the Son. We can't allow people, just because you and I may have difference of administration, but the same principles. It doesn't mean that your administration is wrong and mine's right, or mine's wrong and yours right. It simply may be that's the assignment for where we're appointed. Still got some people say it's wrong for Christians to eat pork. I've even heard doctrine of Christianity condemning all those that was obese, especially those that was considered the super obese. Taught it from the principle of gluttony. my job as a minister is to expose truth. At the end of the day, it's you who have to make the conscious decision to either abide by that truth or ignore it. I can't make you do anything against your will. God don't. So I'm not going to try. Any man convinced against his will remains a man unconvinced. Now, there's so much more I have to go along with this. I'm going to read the rest of this in the New Living, and I'm going to try to just read straight through. So we was at verse 19, so let me go to so I'm going to back up. I'm going to read this in the New Living, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 26 through 32. Let me read that in the New Living. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. My son, obey your father's command, and do not neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp, and their instruction is a light. Their corrective discipline, the way to life. It will keep you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of a promiscuous woman. Do not lust for her beauty. Do not let her court glances seduce you. For a prostitute will bring you to poverty. I ain't got time to deal with it. But sleeping with another man's wife will cost you your life. But the man who commits, that's why I had to just read it straight through. The man who commits adultery is a utter fool, for he destroys himself. You're a fool. What is a fool? A fool is anyone ignoring valuable information that's made ready and available to them. You ignore the warning. You ignore the principles. That's a fool. Because these things are made ready, available. That means they're not hidden away from you. You know the consequence. But you ignore them and do them anyway. It's like when you know that stealing somebody's car is wrong and you can go to jail. Selling dope is wrong and you can go to jail. All of these things that can cause you your freedom, you know. But when you do it, you ignore the truth, thinking that you can define principles. Well, that's only lasts so long. eventually it's going to catch up with you, and the damage that you're going to do to it will be irreparable. So when your health fails because you didn't take care of your body, you did it. Don't blame God. When your marriage failed because you didn't honor your commitment, don't blame God. You did it. When things happen to you because of things you did, do not blame God. There are consequences for your actions. Don't say, well, this person that's unrighteous has been doing it for years and they've been getting away with it, Lord. It's not fair. And oftentimes that's our argument to God. God, this person doing this and they smoke and drink and steam like they ain't never died. They done been in 5 accidents and they still living. And we be trying to figure out, Lord, if it's wrong for me to do all this, why you keep letting this person? Stop that thinking. The Bible says, fret not because of evildoers, for they soon shall be cut down. Our head, we go, well, when, Lord, when? Well, I want you to understand this. What man judges another man's servant? If you had servants, you don't want me coming to your house. Hey, I don't like the way you got your tie. Retie that. Where your gloves at? Where your this? You be like, wait a minute, hold on, Doc. Don't you got servants at your house? Go on, tell your cook what to cook. Don't come over here telling my cook. I didn't invite you to do that. God didn't tell you to do that. Well, I'm just saying, you know, No. If God didn't give you the instruction on bringing correction, and that's what God does, he brings correction. He doesn't have to bring condemnation because it's a given. And I close on this note, and because I don't have any more time. Reading again from the New Living, Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads you to death. Period. King James said, therefore now there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Father, we thank you for allowing us to read your word on today. And we pray for understanding knowledge. Help us to remember, help us to retain, help us to resound these things which we have read on tonight, that we may be better ourselves and help others to become better as well. All of these things we thank you for, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray and receive. Amen and amen. Questions and answers. Amen. Come on.
Pastor Bonnet, I just wanted to say I enjoyed that message very much. It was very good. And I just like the point where you were talking about the things that God did not hate, that he hated. But at the end where you were talking about discord amongst the brethren, I like that point that you very clearly made that point. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, they're, man, that's one of those things that so, man, that's that line that can be crossed so quickly, too. I mean, it really don't take much to cross it. But I'm, you know, David had an opportunity to kill Saul twice. And he probably had more opportunities than that. But we know of two that the Bible shares with us. But because David honored God and he honored his leader, even though his leader was in clear violation against his life, he still did not dishonor Saul. And so just because somebody dishonored you don't mean you have to dishonor them. And a lot of times, especially for us men, talking to men, sometimes we get it in our head. I'm a man just like he is. I put my pants on one leg at a time just like he do. I can hear from God just like him. We are not the same. So get that out of our head. Who God has appointed is appointed. Trust not God's appointed and do his prophet no harm. Amen. All right.
Amen.
All the mics are open.
Well, definitely, we went in the ring with you for the whole duration of this show. You knocked a lot of us out. And thank you.
Okay. I got it.
Great.
You feel like you're in a boxing ring.
Yeah.
Well, all I can say is you made all 12 rounds, man.
Yeah. Next week, let's get ready to rumble.
Oh, Lord. That's the first I heard of that one. Well, like I say, all month long, we're dealing with commitment, man, and all it ain't just you all, it's me. I told you, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. I have to step on my own toes. I got to, I have to deal with the things that sometimes we do it and thank God for the Holy Spirit that comes back and say, okay, now you know you're wrong. Huh? Yeah, you done did this. I did what? And the Holy Spirit will let us know, you know, we've been in violation, you know, of principles and precepts that God himself has set for us to live by. And what is a principle? What is a precept? These things, you know, gravity is a principle. You know, what goes up must come down. So I can't say, well, Lord, you let Peter walk on water. I want to walk on water. Okay, I hope you know how to swim. Just because he allowed it for that moment, Peter, you don't know what God was doing for Peter. And you don't know the circumstances surrounding why Peter was even able to do what he was able to do. Number one, Peter was around the Creator, which is Christ, according to John 1:1. And so in recognizing the Christ, now they've been struggling. All they had to do was go, I think it was like 3 miles up the river, which took them a certain amount of time. And here it is, 6 hours later, they're still struggling, trying to just get across the river. And Jesus shows up in his flesh. But Jesus is doing something supernatural. So God allowed them to see Jesus in the supernatural, doing something that he should not have been able to do in the natural. And the question was asked, if it's you, bid me to come. He could not deny himself. It wasn't that Peter was trying to do the impossible. It was that Peter recognized the impossible, and because it was Christ, he simply responded, yeah, this is me. And it was that connection that allowed Peter to do the impossible. God will give us some things that are impossible to do in life within our own strength. Build careers, build events, and make world-changing things. And it's greater than us. But we can only do it when we're walking with Jesus in the supernatural, not in the natural. But when you're in the supernatural, you see things that are not seen. The Bible says Peter saw the wind. So, and then he began to sing. You're going to see some things when you're walking with God, but you cannot allow those things that you see cause fear that will make you lose sight of God. Because then you'll begin to sink. And if you find yourself sinking, do what Peter did, call out to him who gave you the assignment, who allowed you to do the impossible. For he's the only one that's going to be able to lift you up in that and allow you to regain solid ground. Amen. Anyone else? Come on. Anybody else got a takeaway or something? Question. We do have our prayer requests, those of you that want to make those as well, at this time.
And what I find funny about Peter was, unlike the other guys, he was the only one that was willing to step out of the boat. He's the one that said, he looked at Jesus and says, bid me. All the rest of them are still on the boat and like, well, not me. I can picture them all sitting there saying, not me, not me. I get out of the boat. I'm in the boat. I'm going to stay in the boat. Not me, not me. How about you, James? Not me, not me.
People right. Are like, and listen,
Jesus, you want that to come out on the water? Hey, yeah, why not? How many, and then it makes me ask the question, how many of us, if we were there, how many of us would say, Jesus bid me to come to thee onto the water?
Mm.
Good question.
And you got, it's a great question because you got to realize they was already fighting the current. They was already fighting against the wind and the strong waves. Remember, they was rowing and going nowhere. They was already in a fight. Peter just realized, hey, you on a fast track. Can I get on that track with you? You know, so Peter recognized, hey, man, look, there's something else other than this struggle available for me. And I think that's what we have to grab hold to. Say that again, Brother Six.
Please control your opponents. Don't let them overtalk you. Don't let them jump you. Thank you.
Okay. Amen. Anyone else? We definitely have come to the end of our program. I want to say thank you to all of you that tuned in tonight. Thank you very much for your participation. I pray something I said has encouraged you. Amen. have challenged you. Amen. And I want to know, I want you to know that because you have the Holy Spirit, those of you that are saved, that whatever challenge that's given tonight, you're well able by the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish those challenges. Amen. But we must be committed. So we got much more to talk about kind of commitment all month long. If you got a question about commitment, please write it down. I don't want you to be afraid to ask your question. On next week's show, I want you to be able to ask your questions concerning commitment or what it is to be committed. Amen. As we go forward. So have your questions ready because I'm going to ask for them and we're going to do our best to talk about them as we go forward. Amen.
Amen. And we want to thank our new listeners who may have just called in. Our new listeners, I put that awesome post up there about Motivational Monday. So if you are a new caller and just called in for the first time, welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network and join us 7 days a week, but join us Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, and 6 Pacific, the Six Eyes Radio Network, Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet.
All right.
Hey. Amen. Hey, Queen, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I enjoyed the message on commitment. I wrote down all my scriptures, and I am looking forward to hearing more and learning more. It was great, even from yesterday. So I thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Amen. Lady Bonnet, how you doing? You got anything you particularly enjoy about this text tonight, or you got a comment before we get off the air here?
Yes, being committed. That's it.
Man, she's going to be committed to getting sick. Thanks for picking on her.
Ruthie.
That's
Missionary Ken and Six, Pastor Bonnet, God bless you all.
Thank you all. Now, by the grace of God and sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may He rest, rule, and abide with each one of us here, now, and forever. Give us traveling mercy as we travel to and forth in our individual destination. We thank you for all the provision that you have provided for us, Lord. We lift up our sick and shed in among us, those that are still dealing with challenges of paying their rent, paying their mortgage, those that are dealing with challenges of providing food on the table. God, we ask that you will open up doors of opportunity to so that they may have the necessary needs to keep on living, to keep on striving, to do all that they're supposed to be doing in the kingdom. And God, we just thank you now. Continue to bless the Six Eyes Radio Network team members one by one, name by name. Look down on each household and cover them, Lord God. Cover them by your blood. Cover them by your wings of protection. Cover them in your anointing. Allow them to accomplish that which you have purposed for their lives. And we say thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray and receive. Amen and amen. We are dismissed. God bless you. One and one. Have a good night.